Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain is with us. With the Houston Chronicle, he's been covering the NFL since the late 70s. You can join him. 615-737-1045, our number.
Here's what you need to know about John McClain. He's the man. He is the man when it comes to NFL, and he can talk some NFL with you right now. 615-737-1045. That's all you need to know. That's it. That's a description. That's John McClain. He's
Do
the
I
man.
Need to know anything else?
No, that's it. That's all of it.
John, how are you?
I'm great. What a weekend for the Texans and the Titans. It looks like a two-team race in the AFC South with the Titans coming here for a primetime game in 3 weeks. And I was happy for Mike Vrabel and everybody else in the organization to go in there and hammer the Cowboys. Everybody goes, yeah, you should be pulling for the Cowboys because it helps the Texans. I said, no, I hate the Cowboys. And I want the Titans to win because I want the division to come down between those two teams.
Again, 615-737-1045, our number. John, last night, and I didn't watch the national broadcast, but I could get the sense of it in the building and just reading Twitter from the national outlets. The Titans were just simply the opponent that the Dallas Cowboys were playing on the national stage. So all of the reaction is to how the Cowboys played. But I'll ask you, how do you think the Titans played last night on the national stage?
I think the Titans kicked their ass. That's why the defense shut down Ezekiel Elliott. They sacked Mariota 5 times. Mariota, something happened during the bye week because he was surely a lot better than he was before. And he was running a lot, too. I know people hold their breath when he does, just like they do that here with Deshaun Watson. I don't think it was the Cowboys losing the game. I think the Titans just whooped them because the Titans were a better team, and the Cowboys are fortunate to be playing in such a bad division where the Redskins are 5-3. They have 4 offensive linemen out, 2 gone for the season, and they play at Tampa. And with Fitzy back, Tampa's certainly capable of winning that game. And then the Redskins host the Texans the game after. So I could see Dallas. I think Philadelphia's the best team, but the winner of that division could be 9-7.
Jerry Jones said this morning that Dak Prescott is the quarterback and he's going to receive a contract extension at some point. But what are the questions surrounding Prescott right now in year 3?
He's very inconsistent, makes bad decisions. They don't throw the ball real well. Now, he didn't have weapons. I thought Amari Cooper did a good job considering he didn't have a whole lot of time to get ready. But he's got a lot of issues, accuracy issues. And I don't see how – and, of course, Jerry's going to say that. But they've got to be – you know, would you give that guy over $100 million based on what you've seen so far? I don't think so.
Does there come a point for the Cowboys – Where Jerry prioritizes winning over control? I know it's a long-standing conversation, but watching Garrett and walking out of there last night, it's 500 team under him. Now, Jerry's got the control he wants. Does he value that more than another title, or is he going to come to hire a coach at some point that, you know, maybe he still's got control over but brings some fresh ideas?
Well, first of all, Stephen Jones will be running the show, and he's not going to give that up, and he's the only one that really has any influence with Jerry. I could see Jerry Jones doing like he did with Bill Parcells, hiring a name coach. Still, you know, Parcells didn't want Eddie George. He had Julius Jones. They didn't want T.O., but Jerry wanted Eddie, and he wanted T.O., so Parcells said, hey, I'll coach him up. And I could see that, but no coach is going to go in there and tell Jerry Jones what to do. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, they were what, 13-3 two years ago, and they lost on that miraculous pass play from Aaron Rodgers to Cook. That was about as good as they've been in a long time. Can they get back to there? I don't think so with Jason Garrett. He's got to go. They got to bring in an offensive-oriented coach who will give them some new ideas or do something to try to develop Dak Prescott. Otherwise, they're going to have to find another quarterback.
Chicago Bears 5-3 at the top of the NFC North. I don't know that any of us saw that coming. How impressed are you with what they've been able to do, not just to be in the thick of things, but right now to be at the top of things?
They're a half game ahead of Minnesota. Khalil Mack has not played in the last two games. And I still think, based on what I saw of Minnesota's defense on Sunday, if the Vikings play defense like that, which is how they played last year, then they're going to be the team to beat. It's kind of amazing, isn't it, that the Packers have a losing record at the midway point of the season when everybody was wishing for so much more. If the Lions hadn't just spent the bit, the Packers could be in last place.
John, Troy Aikman isn't normally the most outspoken person. And going back to the Cowboys, though, he did an interview yesterday where he essentially said it's time to blow the whole thing up. The entire organizational chart needs to be ripped up, and they need to start from scratch. And he pointed to all the coaching hires that's happened since they last won a championship and really pointed the finger right at Jerry Jones. I was surprised to see a famous Cowboy that's usually right down the middle be that outspoken against what's going on there.
Chad, I was shocked because Aikman is very close to Jerry Jones, and he basically said, you know, Jerry needs to step aside and give up control, which is not going to happen. And I was just amazed that he did that, because you'll see him with Jerry making appearances and stuff. And he's also tight with Jason Garrett. But you know what? He said what every Cowboy fan is thinking.
John, does Le'Veon Bell report to Pittsburgh this year?
If he reports so he can get credit toward the season, toward free agency, think of the distraction it's going to be. You know, they're won four in a row right now, and James Conner is playing great as a runner and receiver, just as Le'Veon Bell did. And they've got a good thing going. They got good chemistry after all that controversy early. If he comes back, you know, how do you use him? What if he fumbles? What if he drops a pass? He probably wants to be the backup and not play so he doesn't get hurt. I personally would just rescind the tag and take third-round compensatory pick.
And you're right about their run game. James Conner is the reason why Pittsburgh is 5-2-1 right now. He's got, what, four straight games with 100 yards rushing or more? He's been a great receiver.
Great receiver, too, just like Bell. The only reason they have Le'Veon Bell is if you want to start running the ball like crazy and throwing to two backs, especially when the weather gets bad. If you think it makes you better and you'd have a chance to beat the Chiefs or Patriots, which I don't think anybody can do. But I hope he does, because it's sure going to be interesting.
Let's go to John on line one. John, welcome in and say hello to John McClain.
Hey, John. How's it going, bud?
Great, John. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. I was just calling in real quick because I was at the Titans game last night down there in Dallas, and just wanted to say, as far as like that stadium experience and stuff, I've never ever been to a stadium that was quite like that. It was amazing. Really cool experience down there. And if we ever had anything,
How'd you like the scoreboard?
Was really cool. It was massive. I was kind of sitting in the corner of the end zone, though, so I wasn't really looking at the big one. I was looking at the smaller ones on the end. But, yeah, it was very impressive. But if we ever had anything like that in Nashville, I'd want it to be much smaller. But I did love just getting in and out of the stadium was nice, and the whole experience was amazing because there were so many Titans fans there. And it was cool to see all the Oilers jerseys. In my whole section, there was just a ton of old Oilers fans and stuff. So I thought it was really awesome. It was a great time last night.
Keep in mind something, that when the Rangers have their building, their new ballpark finished, there's going to be an entertainment complex that was between the two stadiums for the fans to be able to use any time of the year, except probably Christmas, whether the teams are playing or not. And, of course, that's the brainchild of the ultimate salesman, Jerry Jones.
The big Walmart right there, too, is going to do a lot of business.
Yeah, that's where they have media parking on most games.
Yeah. Hey, I like
that.
Where
you guys had to park?
Close to where I needed to get.
Let me tell you what I had in Denver. I told the VP up there, Patrick Smythe, who I've known since he's an intern, that where they park, usually media parking, which is way away. I said, I got problems with my foot where I fractured. I told him I fractured my foot. So I had a valet parking pass and a golf cart waiting for me as soon as I got out of my car. And after the game, when the temperature was down in the 30s, I had a golf cart take me back to my car and hand me my keys.
John, give us the behind-the-scenes story for Demaryius Thomas going back to face his old team and his thoughts postgame.
Texans traded a fourth-round pick for him, and they swapped seventh-round picks. When he went back, the Broncos honored him. They had a big banner on the side of the stadium anyway, and they just changed it to top, say, welcome back. When he came out on the field, he had about 15 cameramen following him. He got a good ovation from the fans who were there for pregame warmups. Then when he came out on the field for the first time, he got a standing ovation. They did a video tribute to him. The Bronco players were clapping for him. Everybody was. And the Texans incorporated him in the offense on the first series. He had a 31-yard catch, 18-yard catch, ended up with three catches, 20-yard average. But then after the game, he said all the right things. And then yesterday he went on a radio station in Denver and trashed John Elway, Vance Joseph, the coach, and the position coach. That shows you he's still a very bitter man. And things are really bad in Denver right now because Vance Joseph made some boneheaded mistakes in the game on Sunday, including one. Right before the first half, he had Brandon McManus attempt a 62-yard field goal. And he can kick that far, but and he missed it. So the Texans got the ball at the Broncos, whatever that was, 49, 20 seconds left. Deshaun Watson completes two passes. They call a timeout and kick a field goal. At the end of the half, his time expired. And so they won that game by 2 points. And then Joseph was just killed because of that. And then also when they lined up for a 51-yard field goal with no time left, he could have gotten another 5 or 6 yards, but he didn't do it. He elected to kick the field goal from, I can't remember where it's from, and McManus had the distance and he missed it, wide right. So Joseph had some really bad calls. And if he's not fired during the season, he will be fired after the season. And John Elway has got to find a young quarterback.
I saw Demaryius Thomas, call a timeout right at the line of scrimmage when he was confused at one point. How did he do in terms of fitting in? I know he was somewhat productive, but in terms of learning the system in short order, what was he able to do?
Well, he wasn't able to do much. They had a small package for him. He got to the facility Wednesday morning and had regular practice. Now that they have 2 weeks to prepare for the next game, he'll know more. He'll know more as the season progresses, but the reason they got him was to take some pressure off DeAndre Hopkins. With Will Fuller going down for the season, the only other two receivers who can play outside had combined for 2 catches this season. And Thomas had 36 receptions for the Broncos, which would be second to Hopkins here. So they didn't get him because of his deep speed. They got him because he's durable and he's reliable.
John, briefly, give us your thoughts on New Orleans and their performance, 45-35 over L.A.
I'll say this about the Saints. The L.A. Times called me last week, wanted to know who I thought the MVP was, and I said Drew Brees, and they were kind of surprised, and he showed them. And I've got them as the number one team in the league. Can you imagine the championship games if we had rematches of the Rams and the Saints and the Chiefs and the Patriots? How much fun they'd be in those TV ratings would be through the roof.
Yes, they would. John, thank you as always. We'll preview Week 10 with you this coming Friday.
That sounds great, guys. Thank you, and congratulations to the Titans.